going to look, because hey, we are in Chico, California. Yeah. We do have a couple of schools right now that have pretty decent sports for themselves.
Absolutely.
And we want to be able to give you guys an inside look and kind of what's going on with them. But like I said, last night we're going to do a quick review. Apparently, if you want to get a no-hitter on your resume, you play the Dodgers because that's that happened again to them last night.
Yeah, Jake Arrieta
had a nice game for himself.
Mm-hmm.
Pitched a no-hitter, got himself in the record books, written down with some of the greats right now, yep. And the Dodgers have once again failed to get a hit on a pitcher that, like I said, deservedly so. He's a great pitcher, especially this season, is having a great one.
Right.
But Friaris, maybe not, you know, off that caliber in terms of what you're doing, but hey, hopefully the Dodgers bats don't stay that silent and we'll come back alive shortly, because as an LA fan myself, I can't.
Yeah, I was
bear
gonna say,
to
hopefully,
see them.
Hopefully
yeah.
for you.
Yes, especially
I'm
this,
sure a lot
this
of
series.
People around here hope that they no. keep,
yes,
keep those bats cold, especially in the next three nights.
I am one of the one of the few up here, definitely. So I'm willing to put that out there and let people know.
No, absolutely. And you're not the only one. I mean, I see a lot of Dodgers here. Not too much, but I definitely see it because there's a lot of kids that come up from Southern California to go to Chico State. So I definitely see some of the younger people anyway.
Yes, yeah.
Dodgers gear. So it's not like you're alone.
No, that know? Makes me feel at home a little bit when
right.
I see them up here right now.
Right.
And not to mention, it's nice when I'm not getting berated all the time by the people when I wear my Dodgers cap. I actually do get a little support here and there.
Yeah, I'm sure. Yeah, absolutely.
But like I said, this series we got coming up right now is honestly, it's a
huge.
Big one. It is so much is on at stake for yep. The Dodgers and either side, because pretty much you have to win this division.
You got to win the division. There's no doubt about it. There's no. Yeah. I really doubt that either the Dodgers or if the Dodgers were to fall off, and the Giants win the division, I don't see them winning the wild card, and I don't see the Giants catching the Cubs right now for that second spot, because what are they, like 6-7 behind?
Something like that right now. I mean, it is in terms of where the standings are right now, it is really getting crunch time, because
yeah.
there's only a month and
there's
a half.
5 weeks.
Yeah, 5 weeks left right now.
Yep.
We are that close to it, because before we get to postseason in October play, because again, it's a great time for sports, because
yeah.
baseball is really getting to that nice crunch time where it actually matters to actually watch these games. It's not
right.
just the dog days of summer quite so
right.
much anymore.
But that's the thing, though, is that out of the 162, the game on April 6th matters just as much if you think about it.
It does, yeah.
It
in terms of
seem like it
yeah,
does.
In terms of
know.
The grand scheme of things,
right.
it's a picture that gets started very early that
right.
it's really hard to
yeah.
see it until right now. It's finally
right.
finally.
It's
finally
like a Bob coming. Ross painting. You're like, what is he doing? And all of a sudden, at the end, it's just completely clear. And
there
you're
you
like,
go.
How did he do that?
And turns you upside down, and then,
right.
okay, now it makes
right.
sense
Fluffy
right now.
Little clouds.
So glad to know that we got some good baseball coming our way. I'm actually trying my best. I know that we got another series with the Giants that's coming up at the end of this month. That again, we'll see how this one works out, because again, that's going to be another big one. Great. I love the scheduling and how they do
mm-hmm.
that. Right at the end, we get two major series back in LA and one in San Francisco.
Yeah, that's the thing about September baseball. Major League Baseball does a really good job of making it division heavy. Like pretty much everybody plays divisional games from here on out, except for a few exceptions. San Francisco plays Oakland one more time.
Yeah, you get the interleague play. So that's what happens.
Yeah, there's interleague play, because there has to be, now that they've evened out the leagues to 15 teams each. It's
yes.
made it to where you have to have interleague every day. The A's and Giants play one more time, but yeah, the Dodgers and the Giants have six more games, including, like you just referred to, the second-to-last series for each team is going to be in San Francisco, L.A., and then the Giants end with three against Colorado. So that could be really beneficial to them, because Colorado's just not a very good team.
It's unfortunate that that's kind of the way they took. I mean, Colorado definitely always has like a little bit of an oomph, because, again, they had the bats behind
them.
They
do have the bats.
Unfortunately, I mean, they lost one of the big ones, not having Tulo there anymore. But
right.
they still have an offensive output, but just never quite have the pitching to sustain them.
Yeah, and it's a shame, because, I mean, with guys like Cargo and Nolan Arenado, I mean, now they got Jose Reyes, not a big bat, but a good defender, and you look at that lineup for Colorado, LeMahieu, it's like, man, these guys should be good. But like you just said, there's no pitching. And I don't think any free agent pitcher ever would want to go there, because it just seems to destroy careers.
Yeah, no one's ever really been a star pitcher there.
Yeah, I mean, they've had a couple, like Jeff Francis, like back in 2007 when they made the run to the World Series. They subsequently got swept by the Red Sox, and their pitching got exposed. But, they were able to get through 162 plus two rounds of the playoffs with that pitching. So they did have a couple of good guys, but it's just not a free agent destination. Like, there's no way that, like, Zach Greinke is going to go to Colorado. It's just not going to happen.
Probably
not. So they
got
to get some homegrown talent in there, and then hopefully they can keep him. And, their agents or the GM is able to convince them that, hey, you know, it's tough pitching in Colorado, but it is only half the year.
And they also got some, like I said, some good-looking prospects from Toronto, especially giving up that Tulo deal right there. Yeah. So there's definitely uprising that's coming for hopefully these teams, because honestly that's what I loved about this MLB season in particular so much, is that it's finally time for new cats to come into play,
right?
In terms of, like I said, the Royals came alive last year and they're pushing even harder this year now, and they've really turned that franchise around. And then you have so many other teams right now, like look at the Mets right now that have just come out of, I mean, people a lot of had him picked. I remember talking to you at the beginning of the season saying that was a team that you thought was your sleeper pick that I had coming into. And I also agreed as well, just because their pitching was so good. And we're finally seeing that to the potential that they really can be.
And I they're making me look good right now. But then again, I had no idea that they were going to go out at the deadline and get guys like Cespedes, you know, and improve their bullpen with Tyler Clippard. And, you know,
picking up Uribe was a great pickup for them.
They were very aggressive, which I didn't really foresee. I just figured, honestly, with the pitching that they had, and if everybody could stay healthy, including David Wright, who he didn't, he's back now. But I felt like, you know, everybody just kind of always wants to hand the East to the Nationals. And I also like to make picks that are kind of like a little outside the box.
Definitely.
Like,
I mean, if
you
make
the White Sox, and they're horrible. You know what I mean?
They always have they start off great, especially that division in general has a great starting potential, but they really just beat each other up, it seemed like, this season. Yeah.
And I mean, you know, honestly, that's not a bad division, even though it looks like it's bad because Kansas City is so far ahead of everybody.
I mean, but Detroit's like the last team on at the bottom of the block.
Yeah, Detroit's the worst team in your division, honestly. Like, they're pretty good because, they're down a little bit right now, but even after the two letting go of Price and Cespedes, they actually play a decent ball, you know, and they still got Cabrera and the two Martinezes. And, you know, it's honestly, Minnesota's only a game and a half behind Texas for that last wild card. Cleveland's won 5 in a row, is actually still alive in the wild card. They're 5 back of that second spot. It's probably unlikely they'll get in there, but Terry has those guys playing well, you know. And then you say, you know, Detroit and Chicago, it's like, they're not horrible.
No, definitely not. I mean, you can't put that marker on them. They have some great talent out there as well. I mean, Chris Sale having always that's a magical left arm he's got going that with his nice little sidearm delivery. Yep. And I was just going to ask you right there, has there been anything that you were really disappointed in this season in terms of like any team that you thought was going to be really great and then just kind of just fell off the
market? Well, I would say I thought Chicago was going to be a little bit better. Honestly, Houston has come alive a little bit better. Oh, Seattle would be my other disappointment. I thought Seattle was actually, if not a wild card, or if not to win that division this year, I thought they'd be a wild card team. They had such a good year last year and a good push, almost made the playoffs, and I kind of figured that they were on the way up. And apparently, you know, that's just baseball. It's like sometimes year to year, you know, there's such huge fluctuations. I mean, look at the Giants. Three out of 5 years they win the World Series, but the other 2 years they don't even make the playoffs. So that's kind of just how baseball is. You look at the Red Sox, they're looking at finishing last for the third time in 4 years, but the fourth year was a World Series championship. So that's just kind of how baseball is. You know what I mean?
Definitely.
It's a lot of fluctuation.
This is why finally this sport, I think, is really able to grasp more attention right now. It really is finally gaining that steam role again, I think, in popularity, because it definitely did lose a bit. And it's really kind of coming back to, I think, what baseball needs it to be to kind of keep it thriving.
I agree.
That top three portion of it.
I think that the parity is good for the game. I mean, even with 5 weeks to go, you know, if you include the Giants and the Nationals in the race, you still have, seven teams in the NL. So that's almost half the NL that's in the race. And then you've got a bunch of wild card teams alive in the AL. There's probably 10 or 11 teams. Well, I'd say 10 teams with a realistic shot. I mean, some of them have to get really hot, including Tampa Bay and Baltimore. But the point is, you have a lot of cities, a lot of fan bases that are still involved. And it just feels different than when it came back in 95, when, you know, after the strike, which turned off a lot of people. That kind of helped. I mean, football's been popular for 30 years. I mean, it's always been popular, but that kind of helped football kind of ascend to this meteoric status that it enjoys now. And when baseball came back, you know, the Yankees won 3 out of 4, and I'm sure that was exciting for Yankees fans.
Yeah.
And there's plenty of Yankees fans all across the country. But, I think a lot of people were like, oh, man, what it, like, you know what I mean? There was no parity.
You
get tired of it. You know what I mean? You don't want to see one team dominate. That's why people are tired of the Patriots, and I get it.
Dynasties, people like to say, are good for sports, and they can be as long as there's stiff competition with the dynasty. Maybe it's not going back-to-back. They have that years where they're on it. and off, and you're, that's when you have more of a clash of clans, we have more people going at it, right. I think it makes it for much more enjoyable because you get more important games out there. And you really see that being the fact, like, look at places like Kansas City and Pittsburgh right now, franchises that have really done a complete 180 mm-hmm. in maybe the past 5 years and where they were, and have taking that those cities even kind of newer heights right now. They're almost kind of making, when you're the way your franchise goes, your city can kind of follow suit. Like if you have a good franchise,
absolutely,
cities are going to follow in terms of like, oh, okay, your people get more invested in the team, there's mm-hmm. more money being flowed in there, and it kind of becomes a popular place to be. Like look at Toronto now. Like granted, the city was a kind of a cool spot, but now the Blue Jays are doing really good right now, and it's still kind of like an actual attraction place for people to actually maybe go to. No longer it's just like the coast areas at this point in time.
Right,
there's other
right.
options.
And I think also, too, there's some bleed over, and I don't have any like statistical analysis to back this up, but it seems to me that, you know, also it kind of gets contagious. Winning is contagious. Like when the Red Sox won that World Series, actually the Patriots started it off in the beginning of the last decade, and then all four major franchises wound up winning at least one championship in that decade. You know, the yeah. Bruins, Celtics, Red Sox, Patriots.
You have to follow suit.
A lot of success, yeah. You know, and then you see like the Raptors have kind of gotten good in the last couple of years, and now like the Blue Jays, it's just like good for the city. Like,
definitely.
It's like, you know, you got the Pirates that are good, the Penguins are always a perennial playoff team, and the Steelers are obviously the Steelers, you know, one of the best franchises in the history of the NFL.
Another great season.
I feel like, and I think they're going to be really good this yeah. year too. So, I mean, sometimes you see bleed over, you know what I mean? I think you see it in the Bay Area, like this is the Bay Area's time now, whereas like it was kind of a Boston decade last year, I mean last, the 2000s to 2010. But this is kind of the Bay Area. The Warriors yeah. won a championship. The Giants won three. The Niners were like
right there.
I yeah. mean, NFC championship 3 years in a row. A heartbreaking goal line Super Bowl loss.
Even if you just have the success like they did, it's still, like I said, it does promote more success, and
right.
the city does thrive. I mean, you can tell what city is the it city by what's getting destroyed in movies, and San Francisco is getting blown up all the time right now in every single movie.
No, you're totally right.
And that's what's happening. So San Francisco's a new, real big town right now.
No, I'm with you. Everything from, you know, the Planet of the Apes movie to the recent Dwayne Johnson
one. Yeah.
Yeah, I mean, and other ones too, not even just action films.
Godzilla was San Francisco.
Yeah.
Yeah, okay.
Yeah, yeah, no,
it's
you're absolutely
happened.
Right. It's like, you just nailed it on the head right there, because, yeah, it's getting away from, you know, New York and L.A., even
it's
Boston.
It's kind of played out, yeah. You know?
But I like that, because I like seeing the Golden Gate Bridge on the big screen,
It's a beautiful thing to get torn apart, you know?
Yeah, totally.
Seeing Godzilla
yeah,
run through it.
Exactly.
It really is just, like, magnificent.
Well, it's iconic, you know what I mean?
You no longer really have, like, buildings fall down, I feel, in New York anymore. It kind of has, like, a little bit of a stigma that's not quite, I don't think we want to see that happening anymore. We had enough of that.
Well, in reality, kind of made that,
yeah,
sour for us.
Definitely.
You know, 14 years ago.
Seeing a bridge get torn apart, we're A-okay with that.
Right.
Though, yeah.
You know, and I mean, obviously, Godzilla, that's kind of a Pacific Rim sort of flavor anyway. You know
yeah,
what I mean?
Exactly. So, yeah, definitely.
I like that they kept it there. They could have gone to Seattle, but.
And I mean, San Francisco definitely has a really strong Asian population
totally.
There. Yeah. So
it fits.
It fits. It
yeah.
truly does right there. So enough that we had a little Hollywood talk right there. What else is still going on in the news right now is still we have yet to hear about Tom Brady and what's going to happen to him right now. We have, like you said, I think you said Friday is the. At the.
I think that's the latest.
The latest we're going to hear? Okay.
We might know by tomorrow, even Wednesday.
It really is. This standoff between Brady and Goodell, I think, is
ridiculous.
It is ridiculous. Yeah, it's gone to a point where it's just, I hated the fact that we kind of had to bring it up right now, but it's news and it's still something, you know, we wanted to mention at mm-hmm. least to some point that, hey, it still hasn't been decided. I guess that's newsworthy nowadays. I got my updates multiple times on my phone letting me know that. So apparently it meant something. I guess it is for the NFL. I mean, Tom Brady is kind of like the bad boy right now, in a sense. He's facing a commissioner that a lot of people don't really like right now, and they're really hoping that they don't want it. A lot of people don't want to see Brady win, but they don't want to see Goodell win either at this.
Right.
It's kind of like a, you know, what's the lesser of two evils at mm-hmm. this point.
It just depends on how much vitriol you have for New England.
That
because,
is, yeah.
You know, honestly, a lot of the haters aren't really looking at the facts, and honestly, they don't really have. If this wasn't Tom Brady, I don't think we'd be having this witch trial, to be honest with you. And maybe I'm being too much of a homer. But it's
but he's
like,
a name to crucify, at least,
well,
you know?
He is. And yeah. the thing is, I mean, Roger Goodell is trying to prove that he's not just trying to bust. I mean, I hate to say this, but he's not just trying to bust black players. He's not just trying to, like, take it hard on drug offenses or domestic violence. He wants to, you know,
and
he
to
talks
make that
about
stand.
The integrity yeah. of the game. But it's like, first of all, the NFL has it written that this is only punishable by a fine. It says in their bylaws that this is a fine, a $20,000 fine. You know what I mean? And this is basically the equivalent of like putting pine tar on your bat or whatever, or putting Vaseline on a baseball when you're pitching. It's like you're not supposed to do it, but it's pretty much a minor infraction.
Yeah.
And I think that, you know, like you said, it just depends on where you're at. Like, do you hate the Patriots so much that you're willing to let Goodell continue with his, power trip? You know, or do you want to see the league and the front office get taken down a notch? You know what I mean? Because they've kind of been a little out of control with some of the things that they've been doing.
That's the problem. I think there really is just more on the fact that the NFL and the handling of this right now is really kind of more the spectacle, just because
it's
a
joke. It's resolved 2 weeks after the Super Bowl.
I mean, Roger Goodell really has just crossed so many lines right now and has burned bridges and trying to withhold some that shouldn't be there anymore. It's just...
I want
to
talk about bridges getting destroyed. Yeah. This guy's his own Godzilla.
Right now. This, exactly.
You know what I mean?
We connect them to. There we go. That's how we link them all together right now. I'm glad. Free flowing this game, this show right now for you guys. So glad that we got Tom Brady off the ballot. Now we can maybe talk a little bit more juicier and maybe some more ideas of what you feel this season going to be looking like. Where do you feel like, is there a certain team right now that really stands out to you as being either going to have a really good year, or one that you think a lot of people think are going to have, or just going to in the crash and burn?
I think Pittsburgh's going to win the Super Bowl.
Okay. That's your actual pick
That's my pick. I like their offense.
Antonio Brown.
Antonio Brown, Le'Veon Bell. I think Roethlisberger's going to have a good year.
Picked him up in my fantasy league.
They did lose Dick LeBeau. He was a long-time defensive coordinator. But sometimes, I actually, even though the guy's like a Hall of Fame coach, sometimes a breath of fresh air is what a defense needs or a team needs.
That defense definitely kind of had a little stagnant, I feel, in the past couple of seasons right now.
Well, that's what held them back last year. And also Bell getting hurt in that playoff game. Like, I believe they probably would have actually beat Baltimore last year. You know, and if you look at the AFC landscape, I think Denver's going to be down. They've got an entirely new offensive line. And I heard something the other day, and I didn't hear anything else about it, but it was a real quick blurb about Peyton Manning said something to the effect of he can't feel his fingertips, you know, and it has to do with his neck injury.
Okay.
There's some kind of nerve problem.
There we go.
So it's like, if you can't feel the ball that you're going to throw, that's not good.
That's a good sign for Denver fans out there, because they're riding a lot on Peyton Manning. I feel putting too much on this guy at this point.
They're going to be down. I think New England, you know, depending on what happens with Brady, I still don't see them being quite as good as last year. They've lost some guys on defense, and it's just really hard to repeat. So really, I look at it as Pittsburgh versus Indianapolis.
I was going to say I was running for Indianapolis, because that's got to be a team out there. That's a team that I like a lot this season in particular. I think I like the Pittsburgh idea as well. But Indianapolis, Andrew Luck, I like that kid a lot.
Amazing.
He is, and the fact you got Andre Johnson, a nice veteran receiver. You got T.Y. Hilton's a young
Frank
cat
Gore.
Out there. Frank Gore, a nice guy to step up their running game. Right. And they still have a decent defense out there as well.
Yeah.
So
I like Pittsburgh, though, even though that game is probably going to be played in Indianapolis, because they're playing a weaker division, so they'll probably finish with a better record. But I like Pittsburgh to go in there and win that game, because until Indianapolis proves to me that they can stop the run, which has been their Achilles heel, especially against the Patriots, or against anybody really in the playoffs. They cannot
Pittsburgh would be a solid test against that.
All over them if that's the case. So they've got to show me that they can stop the run, and if they do, then who knows, maybe mid-season or in January I'll flip my pick. I mean, I'm going to go with the Steelers. I'm going to ride that, because they're a franchise that goes to and wins Super Bowls. And they're in a position to do so. But yeah, I think it's Indianapolis and Pittsburgh's conferences here.
What about, NFC? What are you liking those teams over there?
I mean, Philly looks good in the preseason, but again, it's the preseason, and I just don't know if Sam Bradford can stay healthy for 16 games.
It's something he needs to prove to everyone right now, and I think he needs to prove that to himself at the start with, because he...
Yeah, and I'm glad he's got a change of scenery. I mean, but Philadelphia is not a very forgiving crowd or fan base.
But so he's got a coach, I feel, that is really pushing for him, though.
Absolutely.
And he's really got... I mean, he obviously picked the guy. He wants him there. He has him there.
I mean,
for
if he traded Nick
right
Foles,
now. Yeah.
Nick Foles was no... He's not
it wasn't
garbage.
A joke, no. I mean, it's interesting to see how they would play out with Sam Bradford. Now, that's definitely a team I'm definitely intrigued on looking at this coming year. I was honestly... I know you're a Patriots guy. I'm a Carolina Panther fan, have been for some time. It's a story behind that. But once I heard about Kelvin Benjamin getting hurt, I know this was a couple of weeks ago, but I was heart-wrenched right then and there, because
a tough loss.
I was really hoping that we would have at least some semblance of a passing game this year, somehow work in a run, and we had a good defense. But I don't know, losing him, it just took a big dagger in there. But you still look at that division right now, I still think that there's still a chance for them to come out of there. They played really well in the past, even with a wobbly passing game, or with Cam Newton as well. They've still made the playoffs. But interesting to see how that plays out. And then obviously Green Bay, them losing Jordy Nelson has got to be, that's a huge blow for them. Do you think that's going to affect them? Do you think they're still going to be A-okay?
I think it's a really bad blow for them. There's going to be a lot of pressure on Eddie Lacy to kind of carry that offense. Some guys are going to have to step up from the wide receiver position. I mean, it's, you know, Rodgers' favorite target. You know what I mean? And so it's going to be tough. I still think that they're a great team. I look at them, Philadelphia, and Seattle. I think Seattle's going to step down a little bit just because it's so hard to keep that going year after year after year. And there's some guys that are kind of a little disgruntled right now because there's money
contract issues,
you know what I mean? Not everybody's getting paid, and that's kind of the nature of going to two straight Super Bowls is everybody wants their money.
You got to get it when you can, so yeah. You might as well get it, ask for it now.
So, I don't know. I'm looking at maybe Green Bay or Philadelphia to go to the Super Bowl. But, I mean, Green Bay, somebody's going to have to step up. They're going to have to pick somebody up. But it's not like baseball where you can just go out in the mid-season and just make like a blockbuster trade. You hardly ever see that in the NFL.
NFL, honestly. Definitely, you need to have your team ready to go right then and there and have a backup in case that person comes out, because most likely you're going to need someone.
Right.
That's the great thing about this sport is that stuff changes on a dime in this league really quick. And on a little side note, talking about football and whatnot.
You squeezed out NFL talk out of me. We weren't supposed to do
this. I apologize right there. Well, you know, we needed some stuff to fill the time right now.
And okay, starting now. No, I'm just kidding.
No NFL talk. We're done with it.
I'm just kidding. I guess that'll be just something Jake and I adhere to when we're in the studio together, because we're a little bitter at the NFL right now, to be honest with you. And I just don't want to give it as much, like, off the air. I know personally I'm not going to give as much attention. And now there's people listening to the show right now like, well, we don't care what you do with your time. And I understand that. But I just, you know, we're not going to try and, you know, give it too much attention, just because it's like, it's really kind of, you know, messed up right now with, you know.
I do concur with that, yes.
Things, it is. I mean, everything from concussions and then not paying out the veteran players, these lawsuits, Roger Goodell just being a power-hungry tyrant, you know, and even stuff like my favorite player maybe being accused of, like, and, like, let's say he did do something that was wrong. Like, that makes, like, I'm so bitter on so many levels, it's, like, hard for me even to know where to begin. You know what I mean? Guys beating their wives, guys... You know, and then also, like, the suspensions of, like, you know, someone smoking pot and getting suspended for an entire year. Like, I feel like that's completely out of whack. The NFL needs to really look at its drug policy, because marijuana is not a performance-enhancing drug. You know
what I
mean?
It might be a performance-reducing drug for them.
Well, I mean, it might help with your recovery, because it's, like, can relax you.
But it's not for them. I feel it's not for them to decide. They've gotten to a point where it's just they're trying to run everything about them, because they are so technical about it. I think that's one thing we really do need to evaluate, not just about the NFL, but sports in general, that maybe we do sometimes give them too much of a say in their freedom to do as they please sometimes, because we do let these owners pretty much have free range of these players right now, and let them control their lives pretty much to a T, what they can and can't do, all for their pretty much own personal gain, in the sense of, this is my team that I've bought that I'm trying to pieces together to fit. It may not just be the NFL. It's basketball. It's baseball. It's soccer. It's every sport that every owner does. And I think we get to a point where we give these owners so much power, because we give them our eyes every single week, every single game. We're always watching that right there. And I think that's something we always, maybe not to tone back on the NFL, but not to give sports in general so much of a say and so much of a control on our lives and our personal well-being, and let it realize it's still just a recreation. It's right. Something that we can enjoy for the competition that's out there and for the amazing athleticism these players put on. But we also have to realize, too, that some of these guys definitely don't get treated correctly by these owners. Some of them definitely take advantage of the system that they're in, and there's good and bad with everything that comes with it. I think that's something we always need to be mindful of when watching any type of sporting event, that, you know, there's underlying factors instead of just the sport that's happening right there in front of you.
Oh, absolutely.
Well, glad we got a little philosophical there for everyone right now. I'm sorry. We just kind of had to go a little bit of a route right there. I was just wondering, are you a fantasy player at all?
Actually, yeah, I am. This was the first year that I did a fantasy baseball league.
Okay.
And I'm Addicted
to it. Okay.
It's ridiculous. Like
That's a daily process.
Thing. You're checking your lineups. You're switching your lineups. You're looking at matchups. You know, but it's great. I mean, I'm thankful too because I haven't followed baseball this closely in maybe ever. You know what I mean? I'm a huge Red Sox fan, and so obviously I keep up with the AL East. I keep up with baseball in general. Okay, but I mean, yeah.
This is like you're looking at every player from
every player. You know,
like
I mean, minor literally
players too, because you never know when they're going to get called up. So yeah.
And so I mean, literally, like you know, you've got 750 active baseball players at any one time, and I could probably name 600 of them, like literally. And I haven't been able to do that in a long time. So
you know, the left-handed specialist out of the pen for the Milwaukee Brewers right now,
right.
I'm sure. Right?
Well, yeah. Maybe not the Milwaukee Brewers, okay, right. And definitely not any middle relievers because that doesn't play into the point system. You basically have starting pitchers and then closers.
Excuse my ignorance. I've never played fantasy baseball ever. Okay. I've only heard. Well,
that's why
so
I only left out 150 guys because like middle relief just doesn't play into it. Unless if you start one of those guys, maybe you're hoping for a win. But that's, you know, so few and far between. But, no, I'm completely addicted to fantasy baseball. I'm close to the playoffs right now. We've got two more weeks in the playoffs. And so, you know, I'm hoping I can bring it home. I've had Paul Goldschmidt on my team the entire year, which has felt really good. He's my number one pick.
He's been having a great season. If only he wasn't on Arizona.
Yeah, well, I mean, bringing up Arizona, and to finish off your question, I do play fantasy football. I have one league, and then I just joined a second league, which is a keeper league, which is intriguing because I had never had that dynamic before. But real quick, do you play? Do you play fantasy?
Fantasy football, yeah, I do. Yeah. I've got a couple leagues going.
I would recommend playing fantasy baseball. Next year.
One of these days I do try want to give it a try. It's just it really is such a time consuming thing
it
right
is.
There.
I mean,
it's,
it takes, but I mean like basically before the 4 o'clock East Coast games, 4 o'clock our time, just about 20 minutes before then, if you got time, just get on your computer, just look at who's playing, who's in the lineups,
and just
make your quick adjustments.
You know,
there's not really, I mean, it's more about like picking up guys who are hot because honestly, like of the 20 players that I've drafted, only four of them are still on my team.
Okay, so you just there's a lot of turnover then. You're picking up new
whether
people,
it's trades or picking guys up. You know, like I picked up Justin Turner halfway through the season. It didn't cost me anything. I just had to drop a guy, and he was really great until he went on the DL. But real quick about the Diamondbacks, I think that's one of my picks for the next, maybe not next year, but like 2 years from now. I could see them being in the World Series because those guys can hit. Peralta, Castillo, Goldschmidt, Owings, Pollock is having an amazing year. Like, that lineup is awesome.
They've always been right at that point where they're almost about to kind of catch up to the Giants and kind of get close to second place, and they always just kind of falter behind. So
they need starting pitching.
They do. That's their biggest problem. Yeah.
If they can go out and get a couple guys, and guys like Ruby De La Rosa can kind of step up a little bit, like, they have the potential, you know what I mean? And they've won a World Series before. A
couple of big free agent, big hands coming on the market this season. You never know. Arizona might be... Everyone's trying to play to win, right?
Yeah.
So they're going to be making moves to try to get the best players they can.
And they've gone out and shown that, you know, when they signed Schilling and Randy Johnson, that they're willing to spend money. You know what I mean?
It's been a while since they made a push, and they might as well go for it now. And they got the bats for it.
Oh, absolutely.
Young talent and Goldschmidt, a great start to build a team around.
No doubt, because I think the Giants, from an organizational standpoint, are probably maybe not going to keep this up for the next couple of years. And I just don't believe in the Dodgers, even though they've got young talent with Peterson and Puig. I still feel like this could be Arizona's division in the next couple of years, but they've got to go out and get a couple strong arms for that starting rotation.
Definitely. All right. Well, on that note right there, we've got our 30 minutes of sports done right there. Noobs, I appreciate you for coming in right now and filling
Thank
in,
you.
Giving
good.
Me something to talk to right now. Jake will be back with you guys next week.
Yep.
But again, I want to let you know that Say Hey is made possible by the generous contributions of KZFR members and by Pete's Restaurant and Brew House, featuring craft beers, artesian pizza and sandwiches, homemade soups, burgers, salads, and pasta, all made with a personal touch. There's also a full bar, organic meats, gluten-free pasta, and more. Pete's also has a banquet room for parties and meetings with Wi-Fi, audio, and a flat screen for video. Pete's Restaurant is on the corner of Park and Carmichael Drive, serving from 11 a.m. to 2:30 and from 5 to 9 p.m. Good beer, good food. Let's eat. Okay, and that does it for Say Hey Sports right now. Catch you guys next week.
This is Peace Talks Radio, the series on peacemaking and nonviolent conflict resolution. Whether it's the search for inner peace or learning how to resolve conflicts we have with others, in our families, our schools, our workplaces, communities, or between nations, we consider it here on Peace Talks Radio. I'm series producer Paul Ingalls. Today, two Harvard scholars who've written books that caught our attention. Later on, we'll hear from Donna Hicks on her book, Dignity, The Essential Role It Plays in Resolving Conflict. But first,